Well, we begin then with Esoteric Astrology 84, page 262. And we're talking about the modes, the three modes of progression around the zodiac. It's pretty clear what they are. Animal man progresses in a counterclockwise manner. Individual man in a clockwise manner. And this should be a three, I guess. And the reoriented man. It's so easy, in a way, to think about men as either being oriented or reoriented or not yet reoriented. You can just see the values that they have and what they fight for, according to whether the reorientation is taking place. So we'll just call it, we'll just say that the reversal of the wheel is really reorientation of the consciousness and of the energy flows within the energy system. The astrologer of the future will have to bear these three modes of progression carefully in mind, although naturally he's not going to be working with animal man, well, at least not immediately. Basically, we're dealing with either those who are not yet reoriented, are reorienting, or are really reoriented. We have to take care of those factors within our energy system and consciousness which pull us backward into a state of non-reorientation. And I suppose all of us have vestiges, vestigial aspects which are like that, that will pull us backwards if we give in to them. Such is God's plan as we at present can sense it. We try to sense as large a picture as we can. We are naturally limited. In this plan, Virgo the Virgin stands for the womb of time. That's the second time he's mentioned that so far in this chapter, the womb of time. That which is invisible, though developing, in time. Time being required to bring this development into greater recognizability and visibility. So Virgo stands for the womb and of time and passes the personality soul, Leo Virgo, and isn't it interesting the order here? Because in this case, personality is, I think, Leo, and soul is Virgo. Otherwise, the Sphinx would not have the head of the woman. And the body, which relates more to the third aspect, of the lion. You know, there are ways that can be reversed, of course, and I've discussed those. But generally, in these chapters, he looks at Virgo as preeminent and indicating the growing soul within Leo, the personality. So in this plan, Virgo the Virgin stands for the womb of time and passes the personality soul, Leo Virgo, through the three above stages or cycles. And, well, it's difficult to think of Virgo Leo as existing for pre-individualized man. Let's just say that some kind of consciousness is passing counterclockwise through the mass animal man movement, pre-individualization. And Leo Virgo gives us that individualization, each playing its part. There is the spark of mind implanted, it's kind of a Leo act, within Virgoan substance. In that case, it's sort of Leo-Virgo, meaning self and form, not Virgo-Leo. So the Virgin, she stands for the womb of form and for the nurturing mother, which by its laws, I suppose, its laws, its natural laws, guards the Christ, guarding the Christ principle within her own material substance until in the fullness of time she can give birth to the Christ child. So this means if we're looking for the fullness of time, we had better understand the science of cycles, which we do not yet. Interesting how this would be associated with Saturn. The third sublevel of the third plane, the third sublevel of the Atmic plane, all of that ruled by Saturn, the Lord of Time. So it's called, full knowledge or complete knowledge. Let's take a quick look here. Be found in a treatise on cosmic fire, around page, I think it's called All Knowledge, isn't it? Let's take a look here. The Atmic plane, All Knowledge, that's what it's called. All Knowledge. So, if Saturn or time is fulfilled, and the science of cycles tells us that the end has come, the time of revelation has come, then that which is hidden in the womb of time can, in the fullness of time, come into the light. And of course, as we get closer and closer to the birth, the crisis occurs. In the old days, many died during the birth process. The form wouldn't take it. The baby couldn't come out. Hemorrhaging occurred. All kinds of physical disasters, poisoning, and so forth. Much suffering. Blavatsky has something to say about why it is that man, looking at man as both man and woman, have to experience the birth of their kind through suffering. Anyway, in the fullness of time, if we know the science of cycles, the birth occurs. One looks at this, one wants to ponder it. You know, it's the second ray method in a way, to extract more and more from what is said, but this is just one presentation, a perspective, and each student of the future, line by line, sentence by sentence, paragraph by paragraph, would extract from these words what his own understanding draws forth. So, something is coming to the birth hour now. We sense the crisis. Aquarius is going to release Virgo from her load. Will the crisis be still greater in Capricorn at a 9-month birth hour? Will there be some births at eight months? It can happen. Maybe a birth of a few. Maybe there will be a much larger birthing in Capricorn at the 9th month. But from another perspective, as far as I can see, the Capricornian initiation of humanity, or of a certain percentage of humanity, is due to occur in the age of Aquarius, so it seems, because the Christ is only the appearing world teacher during the age of Aquarius, and after the age of Aquarius, his 5,000-year extended period as Bodhisattva will be over. So it will be Master KH who is presiding as Bodhisattva during the age of Capricorn, when the birth process will still be very much in effect. So I suspect the Christ will be presiding over the first and second initiations, basically a Capricorn process, but during the present and forthcoming smaller or processional age of Aquarius. So the timing here is interesting, 8 or 9. In any case, we feel the birth hour approaching, and we feel all the inhibitions to the successful birth process also making themselves felt. The threats of war, the possible poisoning of the earth and of humanity through pollution. You know, the mother always has to be aware of the possibility of poisoning before the birth occurs. This is a great danger, both to mother and child. Humanity, as the mother in a way, is bringing forth the Christ child within itself. And the obstacles are now evident, and we have to get through that to have a successful birth into the new age. And the patient can die, and the baby can die, if the analogy holds good. There are three principal signs connected with the Christ principle in this world period. How does he see it? Okay. I mean, you know, you would think, okay, this world period, and we discussed the idea that world period cannot be too long, cannot be too short, and that in different world periods there were different numbers of signs representing the 12 constellations of the zodiac. Excuse me. So we could easily take the three secondary signs, which are Gemini, Virgo, and Pisces, but Gemini is left out, and Capricorn takes its place here. Virgo has to do the Christ principle. Virgo has to do, it's the sign to which the majority of the second ray is reaching humanity at this time. Virgo has to do with gestation, the slow growth within, governing nine signs from Virgo to Capricorn, including Virgo. So here the ninth sign is indeed mentioned, and the whole process, which ends with Capricorn, is governed by Virgo. So to the extent that these intervening signs are part of this process, they are governed by Virgo. They are part of a Virgoan process leading to birth in Capricorn. Then there is Capricorn itself, which interestingly is called labor. Three signs from Capricorn to Pisces until the third initiation, including Capricorn, three signs including Capricorn. Now, the third initiation can occur in Capricorn and in Aquarius, and I wonder if in Pisces. Generally, it's a sign that is related to earlier and later initiations. Maybe to the first and the ending of the experience upon the immutable cross, definitely to the second, which involves water and devotion, and in which three rulers or planets associated with Pisces are involved. Venus is involved, it's exalted in Pisces. Jupiter also rules the second initiation as the ruler of Pisces, orthodoxly. Neptune, the special ruler of Pisces. These three planets are involved with the second initiation. They are the governing planets of the second initiation, and they are all intimately associated with Pisces. So Capricorn is labor, that working out into manifestation. There's, interestingly, much seventh ray in Capricorn. The majority of the seventh ray, which is about manifestation, is found in Capricorn. Two manifestational rays, 3 and 7, are found expressing through Capricorn, with the seventh ray being the strongest at this time, more of the seventh ray at this time, you know, is it this world period? Well, at this time is maybe good enough. More of the seventh ray coming through Capricorn at this time than through any other sign. So it fits with labor, which is producing the emergence. But what would he say of Pisces? And he actually says its birth, the appearance of a world savior. So this, we're not just talking about the appearance of a child or the appearance of the first degree initiate. We are talking about the birthing of a world savior. Of a world savior. It's a different process on a higher turn of the spiral. So there are three principal signs connected with the Christ principle in this world period, and I suppose, you know, bringing the full Christ principle to birth. Virgo, in which the Christ principle is ready to really emerge into Capricorn, let us say in a way the Christ emerges at the first initiation. There is the preliminary appearance of the Christ principle. CPPR. I think I'll try that one. I'd like the word Christ principle to emerge every time I write something shorter. So let's call this Christ principle. And I will add this. Christ principle. Okay. CPPR, Christ principle. Okay. The Christ principle emerges after a long gestation in the substance of ordinary humanity, moving towards probation and a form of early discipleship until the Christ comes to birth. Then the Christ principle has at least appeared. Now the initiative of the third degree is going to appear, but this simply means that the real Christ principle is going into labor, so there is much struggle here. Let's just call it like this. Much struggle. Beginning with the third degree, moving towards the, and including the fourth. And then in Pisces, which is often associated with the fifth degree, the real birthing of a world savior. So this is, we have been witnessing a different and more advanced birth process. More advanced birth process. Yes. Interesting. From Virgo through Capricorn. It's quite interesting here. The Capricorn at the third degree begins something very difficult. That's what we have to notice here, because it's labor. So Capricorn at the third degree begins a very difficult process. Now, this movement from Capricorn to Pisces, it doesn't seem correct that it should end at the third degree. Capricorn is the signature sign for the third degree. Aquarius is also much involved. Is the labor ending at the third degree? I don't think so, because the birth Pisces, which is the birth of the real world savior, is post-third degree, usually, signifying the fourth or even the fifth degree in association with Shambhala at the fifth degree. So it seems there's something very difficult occurring involving the third and fourth degree. And then the actual birth occurs in Pisces. Can we call it the fourth degree? Can we call it the fifth degree? It's certainly the birth of the true world savior does not occur at the third degree. So the birthing of the world savior, it cannot occur at the third degree. That is too early. Must occur at the fourth or the fifth degree. So this is a more advanced birth process. He gives us all these different perspectives. In the consideration of these points, another problem for astrology emerges, which I've scarcely touched, but which is determining in its results. Interesting how much he speaks of the Christ principle in these pages on Virgo. It is matter, the counter pole to spirit, but it's also that in which and from which the Christ principle emerges. And he introduces one thing after another, one new perspective after another, hoping that we have somehow stabilized our conceptions up to this point. One wonders how long Master DK has been studying what is now presented as esoteric astrology. Certainly it's been for hundreds of years, probably thousands of years, and we've been studying maybe for a few decades. But we have the benefit of his well-organized condensation of a vast subject, which will help us deal with our knowledge of humanity more incisively. Imagine trying to understand humanity without the benefit of that which has been presented to us as esoteric astrology and esoteric psychology, including the science of the seven rays. We've really been given the tools to promote human understanding in an increasingly potentially spiritual age. Okay, so what is this other problem? There must be a distinction made between the horoscope of the form and the horoscope of the inner living Christ principle. Well, the form is ruled by Virgo, and Virgo presides in a way over the emergence of the Christ principle, from Virgo to Aquarius to Pisces, or Virgo to Capricorn to Pisces. That is a significant triangle. Matter of fact, let's put this in, that Virgo, Capricorn, Pisces is a significant triangle of the Christ principle. So a horoscope of the form and a horoscope of the inner living Christ principle. Now he kind of gives us ways of doing this, even at the beginning of the book. This will condition the new astrology, but will be developed by as astrologers work with the hypotheses I have presented. Ponder on these facts connected with the Christ life. They are familiar to you theoretically, but their implications and their esoteric meaning are abstruse and often difficult to those who have been reared under the old order, and I suppose studying the old astrology, with the old ideas and approaches to truth. They signify far more than has hitherto been grasped. So we get the seed of knowledge, but we must see to the germination of the seed and the outreaching of the little tendrils, the expanded relationships which are implied as the seed begins to germinate. So the horoscope of the form, well, studying the planets and the houses helps with that. Studying the sun sign, studying the moon and Mars, maybe placed upon the ascendant, helps us gather something about the horoscope of the form. But there's so much more than we've been able to really understand. And then the horoscope connects with the Christ life, built around the ascendant, I suppose. The ascendant telling us the way the soul would go, the way it would express in this particular incarnation. It being a sign inclining towards more successful soul expression. So the houses can very well represent the form and certain planets. And other planets like Neptune, Jupiter, Venus, and so forth, can represent the Christ principle. And how they are configured in the chart will help us learn about the unfoldment of the Christ principle in our particular life. We can also look to this triangle of the Christ principle, Virgo, Capricorn, and Pisces, and see the emphasis and see to what extent we are emerging toward the Capricorn phase and the third initiation and beyond, because there is a bit of struggle, you know. There is labor all during the whole process of initiation. Capricorn, in a way, governs all the five initiations. And so, in general, I want to say, moving backward here as the idea comes to me, in general, we could say, whether, oh heavens, speaking of the third initiation or the first initiation, the initiation period is laborious, painful, full of struggle and danger. So we could simply be speaking of labor until the third initiation. But since Pisces often represents that which transcends the third degree, we could also be talking about labor beyond, and there are just tremendous labors involved by the initiate of the third degree, who is the world disciple, and by the one passing through the incredible struggles of the fourth degree. That is a real birth of the Christ at the fourth degree and coming into full manhood at the fifth. So I think there are two ways of looking at this. It's a little ambiguous to me. Whether this first stage stops at the third degree or the first degree. So I just want to say here, the unanswered question is whether this gestation stops at the, no, give me a break there, stops at the first degree or the third degree. Because the real birth, you know, there is kind of a birth at the first degree, but it's not a birth of the Christ principle. It's just kind of, we're talking about the birth of a world savior. Maybe the birth of the Christ principle, but making of the world savior is an altogether higher form of birth. So the Christ principle must be born well before the world savior can be born later. And no man at the third degree is a world savior. Maybe at the fourth, or definitely at the fifth. So there are some, maybe, ambiguities here. And this labor in Capricorn can involve the entire initiatory process, or simply from the third degree to the fourth and fifth. And finally, maybe at the fourth degree and the fifth, the real birth of the world savior appears. So there are two kinds of births. We have been discussing two kinds of births, one of which must go before the other. The birth of the Christ principle. The other is the birth, much more advanced, of the world savior. Okay, I hope that clarifies things a little bit. So much more than has been thus far realized or grasped is implied. And mostly when we do a horoscope these days, we mix it up a bit. We look at the horoscope of the form, the horoscope of the psyche. We maybe talk about the emergence of the Christ principle to some extent. We don't talk about people becoming world saviors, but we might talk about them as beginning to tread the path of the world savior, as I think both AAB and FCD we're treading. We have one horoscope pretty much, and we make it do all things. Now, some have gone into additional horoscopes, the conception chart, the animation chart, and the many hidden horoscopes whose methods of derivation have been offered. And well, Nicholas Nolan has done a lot of work with this, and Malvin Hartley, and Arthur Young, a friend of Charles Jane, who was with a group that sort of received this way of thinking, supposedly from Master Hilarion, or on that stream of energy. That was a long time ago. When I knew Charles, I met him in January of 1985, and he died on December 31st, 1985. And I was his avid student during those years, but probably not equipped with sufficient fifth ray, maybe even third ray of a certain kind, to appreciate the mathematical astrology of which he was such an expert. But then some of my colleagues with more fifth ray than I, Malvin and Nicholas, took it up and really began to develop it so that those hidden charts began to achieve some degree of usefulness, although it is laborious. I'm recalling, you know, I went to visit Arthur Young after Charles died. He was an old man. He had successful scientist. He had invented fifth ray, you know, the stabilizing bar for the helicopter, made a lot of money with that, and could dedicate his time to higher third ray pursuits. So he had done all 49 of his own charts, but in those were pre-computer days. He shunned the computer. I don't know why. And, you know, he pretty well, the only thing he could develop was his own chart. Because if you're going to work on 49 charts and you're using mathematics by hand, what can you do? Now much more can be done. And Nicholas has done this, I think, quite successfully, and has been teaching it in a way that people can grasp. And so the many different subtle layers of their being, even pre-birth, can be somewhat exposed. We're not there yet entirely, and there are many different ways to rectify such charts. Just imagine 49 charts, some of which have to be rectified according to the events that are occurring in your present life. How can you do this, given the time you have at your disposal? But our computing power is becoming more and more adequate to the task, and it may be that somehow, combined with the psychic senses, which will accurately reveal where a person has been and what his previous horoscopes have been and so forth, we'll be able to use these methods concerning the inner 49 charts, or most of them inner, and determine their usefulness in promoting soul development in this present incarnation. So when we get into astrology, we're getting into a vast, vast field. It takes so many lives to master, and the members of the astrological department of hierarchy, DK says they're very selfless. I think it's largely a third-rate department, my guess would be, but I wonder the degree to which Master DK is himself a member of that department. He seems to be so diverse, such a mixture of the third and second ray, at least in my opinion, and he even seems to imply that he has somewhat of the first ray in the triad. That to me is, well, I think he displays it. It's just, what does it mean in terms of his ray structure? Now we're moving on here. We're on page 263, and we're looking at the rulers of the sign. They're three in number. Mercury, this is the orthodox ruler. It's also the exalted, what, ruler, the planet exalted in this sign, at least according to the Tibetan. It signifies the versatile energy of the sun of mind, the soul. The soul in incarnation, and I suppose the soul on its own plane. It is interchangeable for the sun, or sun, hence it has a 2-4-6 line connection, and stands for the mediator, one who is between, or intermediary, always between two poles, or two individuals, or two energy sources, helping them relate and know each other. The interpreter, you might say. It is interchangeable for the sun or sun, and stands for the mediator. It's capitalized there. Or intermediary. Certainly is, in a way, the mediator between monad and personality. Mercury, the sun of mind, is found squarely on the higher mental plane as one of its focuses. It's found on the lower mental plane, the higher mental plane, the highest subplane of the mental plane. It's found on the buddhic plane. Maybe to an extent, given its likely, I think, third ray final monad, will be found on the atmic plane. The ideas of five planes of mind, or five types of mind. So as the mediator or intermediary between the father and the mother, the soul is that. The father is the spirit, the mother is the personality, so Mercury is standing for the soul, the sun is the symbol of the soul, and Mercury and the sun are interchangeable. So as the mediator or intermediary between the father and the mother, between spirit and matter, and yet is the result of the union of these two. You wonder if mythologically this is the way Mercury was produced. So it's the orthodox ruler, but he gives us a lot of esoteric significances here for this orthodox ruler. Mercury, you know, how good Virgo people are working with knowledge in the world of form. Mercury certainly has that ability to induce that kind of knowledge. But he immediately goes here to the soul plane and thinks of the soul as mediator. In one way, the soul in incarnation, who is really the disciple, is the mediator between the lower personality and the soul on its own plane. That's another type of mediatorship, the extension of the sun, a ray of the sun almost, an emissary, an agent of the sun, is Mercury. Mercury, the disciple, plunged into the matter form of the dense physical body of the planetary or solar logos, especially the planetary logos. The personality is not the disciple. Mercury is the soul in incarnation. That's the disciple who really retracts himself and realizes he is, in fact, more essentially the soul on his own plane. But that retraction or detachment, at which Mercury is very good actually, doesn't occur until later in the evolutionary process, and then Mercury can slip backwards, as it were, or upwards, and find itself in the midst of the sun that can symbolize the soul on its own plane. So Mercury is the first ruler, but still very high in Virgo's expression, because I've been trying to say that when you have a planet which is exalted, it may be in a way more powerful than all the rulers, including the hierarchical ruler. So when a planet is in the sign of its exaltation, you can look for a very powerful expression, which can be material in its nature, or it can be spiritual, depending upon the level of the person we're discussing. The moon is the esoteric ruler, and here Vulcan is listed, but later also Neptune, bringing the birth of the Christ. Neptune is much more Christ-like. Vulcan has much more to do with matter. The moon relates both to density, especially the density of the five non-sacred planets, but also it has this very strong emotional connection. So he's given only one of the veiled rulers here, anyway, Vulcan. This is the esoteric ruler, and later we'll see the veiled planets are two and not one. The significance of this is similar to that of the orthodox ruler. The moon, or fourth ray energy, is seen as an expression of first-ray energy. It's Vulcan. Vulcan giving tremendous endurance over time so that one can last through the processes which must occur in the womb of time and can endure until they end. So the moon is here an expression actually of a veiled energy, Vulcan, but also of a Christ-like energy, Neptune. We'll discuss that later when it comes up. The moon rules the form, and it is the will of God, Vulcan, to manifest through the medium of form. Vulcan is so connected with matter and with form. He is a fashioner, after all, fashioning the form. There's a strong second-ray aspect of Vulcan because he's connected with the heart of the sun very esoterically. I suspect that his final monadic ray is the second, even though the submonadic ray, I think, is the fourth. These are all speculations which will be confirmed either by our own direct knowledge or by someone like the Master DK who knows these things. We must begin with intuitive speculation, or speculation in the abstract mind, which leads to intuitive confirmation. We have to feel our way there in a way. We don't see yet. We're not the Master. We don't see. But we see a little here and there, a glimpse, a glimmer, enough to suggest a relationship which seems intuitively correct and will be confirmed eventually. So Vulcan behind the moon, the will behind the form, the will expressing through the form. It is the will of God, God the planetary logos here, and I suppose God the soul of logos and many gods to express through the medium of form, but especially on our planet through the medium of a dense type of form inherited from the past. Then there is Jupiter, the hierarchical ruler, and rules the second creative hierarchy of divine builders, that of the divine builders of our planetary manifestation. But remember, the hierarchies are systemic in their nature. They are related to all the different planets. Even the kingdoms are systemic in their nature. But we're talking about the builders of our planetary manifestation, maybe the builders of many planetary manifestations. We're referred to the tabulation of hierarchies found on page 34 and 5 of this book, Esoteric Astrology. This is the seventh creative hierarchy, counting from above, as well as the second manifested creative hierarchy, counting from Leo above. If the five unmanifesting creative hierarchies, one of them still manifesting a bit, are counted in the significance of 2 and 7, much of the mystery underlying these hierarchies will be revealed. All of them, or specifically the one which is that of the divine builders? Well, two of the major building energies and also of healing energies are Ray 2 and Ray 7. Also, Ray 6 is found in relation to this hierarchy. So the two numbers, well, I've looked at Jupiter at times long ago. I may have been correct, I don't know. Certainly Rays 2 and 7 are there. And I've even looked at Ray 6 as being that uplifting enthusiasm, which is operative in terms of Jupiter. All the numbers are given on the table of creative hierarchies. 7 down from the top, 6 up from the bottom, and 2 down from where the manifesting creative hierarchies begin. The numbers of Jupiter then, 7, 2, and 6. The order is difficult to discern, but at least the second ray, I think, is there on the soul level. Jupiter has kind of a buoyancy to it, which is suggested by the sixth ray in a more expansive manner. Jupiter is eager to grasp and to fulfill its desires. We'll see to what extent we can determine or prove that the sixth ray is one of the rays of Jupiter. But this is the hierarchical ruler, and it's bringing the Christ principle to a high degree of fulfillment. And it links the Christ principle with the monadic level, where Virgo, hierarchical Jupiter, is ruling Virgo. About the monad, there is not only first ray, certainly not at this time. It's on the second plane, and it's ruled by a second-ray planet and a second-ray sign, preeminently second-ray sign, Virgo. So the monad has in it a combination somehow of first and second rays, and that's why it's sometimes characterized as Atma-Buddhi or first-ray, second-ray. So the two form-building rays, especially the second and the seventh, are there, and they are also two healing rays. The healers are especially found upon the second and the seventh ray. The combination of the two makes the eminent healer. So two and seven, holding the key to understanding the creative hierarchies as well, where they are the builders. So let's just put it in a simple way, not a profound way. The creative hierarchies are the builders. And the two preeminent building rays are the second and the seventh. And we're looking here at the numbers two and seven as revealing much of the mystery underlying the hierarchies. Their purpose is to build the forms and to hold them in coherence and to work cooperatively together, the two and the seven. Jupiter is a building energy. It's connected with ceremonialism and the integration, the harmonious, united integration of many factors in an orderly manner. There's a lot of order to Jupiter. It's not necessarily a chaotic planet. There's, when you look at the kind of ceremonial work that is done under Jupiter, it's all very ordered. There's a right timing and a right method, and a right elevation of the instrument to carry out the ceremonies. It's stately, it's majestic. Its movements are not random, spontaneous. They are well planned and executed with dignity. All of that is of the seventh ray. Through these three planetary rulers, Mercury, the Moon, Vulcan, and Jupiter, the energies of the fourth ray pour, so certainly through Mercury, the fourth ray, Sol ray, principally at this time, and through the Moon, the fourth ray, and actually through Vulcan, the fourth ray, even though it's manifesting preeminently, probably at Sol ray, the first ray. The fourth ray pour, governing the mind through Mercury and the physical form through the Moon. The four elementals of the physical form governed through the Moon. And the mind relating all things, the Mercurian mind relating all things related to the fourth ray. So 2/4 rays are found here. Lots of 2/4-6 in Virgo, except for its legacy, which I presume to be on the third and seventh ray. The energies of the first ray, expressive of the will of God, hiding behind the Moon, or veiled by the Moon, begin their control of the self-conscious man, unfolded in Leo. So Virgo is going to work to bring in the divine will in yet another way after self-consciousness has been unfolded in Leo. The will of the soul is going to begin to manifest, building the inner man into the outer man through gentle hammer strokes, I suppose. There are all kinds of hammers. I guess Vulcan rules all of them. And some of them are like little mallets and even have kind of rubber faces, so as not to cause too much damage, but others of them can be a sledgehammer. Vulcan rules that too. We hope that we can progress by reasonable enough taps so that the sledgehammer does not have to be applied. So the energies of the first ray are involved here, expressive of the will of God, and they begin their control of the individualized, self-conscious man, unfolded in Leo, and also the energies of the second ray, embodying the love of God, a ray which pours more through Virgo than through any other sign at this time. They pour into manifestation, representing the two and six of Virgo, it being the sixth sign, but also, interestingly, having much of the seven if we count clockwise. From Aries. Or if we count clockwise, we have to count from Pisces. Let's see. Yes, it'll have to be from Pisces, interestingly enough. There are a number of starting points when we start counting along the zodiacal wheel, and counting clockwise, the Tibetan gives us a Aries starting point sometimes and a Pisces starting point at others. So since the very highest of the liberated hierarchies is ruled by Pisces, as we count down towards towards Virgo, I think we get 7. We do. From Pisces to Virgo, we get 7. Either way, 7. So will under Vulcan, love under Jupiter, and harmony under the Moon and Mercury. Harmony through conflict. Such are the controlling forces which make a man what he is, and are the governing and directing energies which use the mind, Mercury, the emotional nature, I suppose it's the Moon, he doesn't say, and love in Jupiter, and the physical body, the Moon, or esoteric will. So there's much expression of the will in the physical body, and sometimes we've been told if we want to understand the monad, we do have to look at the etheric physical body. DK has sometimes found hints about what the monad are by looking at the ray of the physical body under certain circumstances. So, make a man what he is. Any man? Such are the controlling forces which make a man what he is. Will, love, and harmony through conflict. Now, that's quite interesting because they may be the three great rays of humanity. I'm going to ask that here. Coming rays. Are these the three great, three coming rays of humanity? In other words, humanity will have, eventually, a fourth-ray personality, just as at present it seems to have a fourth-ray soul. It will have a second-ray soul, just as at present it seems to have a fourth-ray soul. So let's see if I got that right. The fourth-ray personality, it will have. Presently it seems to have a fifth-ray personality. That's what I meant to say. Its soul ray will be 4. It presently is. Soul ray will be 2. It presently is 4. And I do believe that humanity is a destroying kingdom compared to the building kingdom of the Devas. And maybe on some high spirit level, humanity's monadic ray is all in all the first, which would be interesting in terms of this first-ray monadic planet and tying in as well with the first-ray monad of Uranus. So maybe will, love, and harmony through conflict are the controlling forces which make a man what he is, certainly what he will be. Certainly love and harmony through conflict are going to be his two major rays. DK tells us 2 and 4 are the coming rays of humanity. As far as will goes, well, humanity, we are told, is the destroyer compared to the builder, which the Devas are. And such are the governing and directing energies which use the mind, fourth ray using Mercury, I suppose, the emotional nature, fourth ray can accord with that, love in Jupiter, and the physical body, the Moon, or esoteric will. Interesting, that connection of the outer form. Now, he flew like an arrow into matter. He grounded himself deeply in the depths of form. The Blessed One flies like an arrow into matter. He grounds himself deeply in the depths of form. He destroys or ruptures the way by which he might return. Then he wants to know how to get back. So that's Vulcan, first ray monad, flying into matter, anchoring himself in deep physicality. And we know that the first ray ashrams under the power of the monad have a lot to do with molding the physical form. So the first ray type spiritually or divinely, monadically under Vulcan are really good with the hard stuff. with the density of life. So that the body should be, in a way, esoteric will does not surprise me, because there's a tremendous link with will energy and the very lowest level of energy. Sometimes when I want to see who really has first ray, or possibly first ray on the monadic level, I look for how they do with the densest of matter and the forms found in density of matter. Physical body, the moon, or esoteric will for purposes of divine expression and manifestation. So these are the governing and directing energies which use the different aspects of man, the mind, emotional nature, and physical body, also love, for purposes of divine expression and manifestation. And of course, Virgo has inherently the tendency towards manifestation, which it acquired, I think, through different ray emphases in a different time, as I've been emphasizing 3 and 7. Matter and order within matter. It will be obvious to you that the task of Mercury in connection with humanity has gone forward most satisfactorily. Well, we do have intelligent man, and Mercury is a 5. Mercury is the hand, the fivefoldness of the hand, the magician who uses the hand to manipulate, uses the mind to manipulate matter. The mind is 5 too. The sub-ray of Mercury is 5, monadic ray, I suspect. It will be obvious to you that the task of Mercury, in a way the ruler of the Aryan race, in connection with humanity, has gone forward most satisfactorily and has brought humanity to its present point of evolution upon the probationary path. Remember, we're told that probationary path is ruled by rays 4 and 6, path of discipleship by 3 and 5. Well, Mercury is connected with 3, 4, and 5. But in its present most powerful expression is ray 4, and the struggles and the choices of the probationary path and the conflicts do involve Mercury, a certain expression of Mercury. Remember, the planet can express in many different ways depending upon the sensitivity of the form to receive the full gamut of energetic possibilities. So we are an intelligent race at the moment. We may be retarded in the sense that we should be farther along, as far along as Venus is, but the moon chain failure prevented that. But remember, the moon falls in Scorpio and is exalted. Mercury is hierarchical in Scorpio, so Mercury is helping us move away from the moon chain disaster. It's our planet of intelligence linking to the higher redeeming energies and helping to bring them into matter which has not been fully redeemed, which is ruled by the moon, which falls away in its power, and Mercury's power takes over, extending in sort of a reverse antikorana into matter and bringing the higher redeeming energies into matter, the messenger bringing the higher redeeming energies. So it will be obvious to you that the task of Mercury in connection with humanity, we know not where else, has gone forward most satisfactorily and has brought humanity to its present point of evolution in this Aryan race. It's on the probationary path, ready to step onto the path of discipleship, and a certain number of human beings under the path of initiation. It will be obvious to us as well, will it, that the energy of Vulcan is potently making its presence felt in war, I would say, you know, conducted largely through the mineral kingdom, think of it. And hence the struggles going on between, upon the planet, between the men of will, selfish and ambitious, I suppose necessarily so at their present stage of unfoldment, and the men of goodwill, who are desirous of good of the whole. Now, energies 2 and 3 are combining in goodwill, love and action, and the first ray in its Vulcanian expression having to do with hardness, especially in Capricorn relating to the mineral kingdom, and maybe Taurus too, selfish desire. That's how Vulcan is presently expressing, but not for long. I mean, we're told that the scientific types, for instance, who now create the means of destruction, will one day create the inventions which will save, which will liberate man, essentially, from the thraldom of time. So there are struggles going on between the men of will, who seem to want to regiment and control everybody, selfish and ambitious, and perhaps being disciples of Shambhala, with which Vulcan has so much to do, but not knowing that they are, and not being conscious disciples of Shambhala. I wonder if Ataturk was a conscious disciple of Shambhala. DK praised his work, but he simply said that men like Hitler and Stalin and Franco and I don't know who else, a few others, were disciples of Shambhala, but obviously not fully unfolded in their soul to realize where this will was coming from. So eventually, even under Vulcan, one can be desirous of the good of the whole. Vulcan has in it, on the higher levels, the heart of the sun. But the way it's constantly expressed at the moment, I'm just reminded of sort of taking the hammer and forging weapons. But Vulcan will also be involved in beating the swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Is that it? Vulcan will be involved. So later, let us say, Vulcan will serve the peace, beating, let's say, swords into plowshares. That word beating is so Vulcanian, it has to do with rhythmic impact. Yes, beating the hard things into useful things, which are useful for peace and not for destruction. So in a way, the second-ray nature of Vulcan will be coming through. It's essentially second-ray nature, monadically, I feel. It's still not a fully unfolded planet, but more so than the Earth. So it's obvious that Vulcan is operative. War has been increasingly related to developments in the Mineral Kingdom. And there are struggles where men seek to overcome each other through the inventions in relation to the Mineral Kingdom. Even the atomic bomb is part of that. And the men of goodwill, so there's a conflict there, desirous for the good of the whole. Trouble is, people are ignorant and they just don't see the stage of evolution in which they find themselves. Oh, I've done it again, I've done it again. I'm into the sixth program without realizing it. But I'll just finish this paragraph and then just say that's the end of program five. So when the human hierarchy is fully awakened to spiritual and not just material possibilities, materialism will end then, an enlightened spiritual materialism will take place, then the work of Jupiter will immediately intensify, and the beneficent ruler will lead the human family into the ways of peace and progress. So we have a lot to overcome yet, let's just say. Much to overcome in the realms of Mercury and Vulcan. Okay. Making intelligence the servant of love and making will the servant of love, then Jupiter can emerge. So there is a certain timing in the emergence of the power of the rulers, a timing in the emergence of the power of the rulers. Okay, well anyway, let's call this Esoteric Astrology 84, and it's E, and it's page something. Page what? Maybe I better go backwards. Whoop, there was a page. Yeah, page 264, I guess. Page 264, and we'll begin, though a little off time, with Esoteric Astrology 84, page 264, and this should be a small e, if possible, and this is the end, and this is the beginning. Okay.